I feel like I've been doing the same intro lately.
No, it was a new year. It's a fire horse year. You can start with that.
Oh, that's why there's this fire. Okay.
Yeah.
What if I open each episode with a bad joke? Like,
I think you should neigh. I think you should open by neighing. Give us that whinny. Let's hear it.
I don't do impressions. Okay. No, I can't. I can't even live with myself knowing I am attempting to make any sound that isn't me. You got a whinny in ya? Crickets chiming in.
Hold on. I'm going to pull up a video so I have some inspiration. Horse whinny, let's go.
Okay, because I was going to go for like, where do horses live? In neighborhoods.
How did you even make that sound? Hold on. It's my horse.
Did your mic pick that up?
I don't know. Well, yeah, it did, because my mic picks everything up.
God, okay. That was like a frantic neigh.
I think this is just the opening now. I think we're just so in it.
Yep. Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year. Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, whatever. Fire horse.
Is it? What am I saying? Yeah, I'm seeing it's like Malfoy from Harry Potter's name means like something horse, whatever. And so his name's or his face is being put on banners for the New Year celebration. I feel like I saw this somewhere online.
His name's Draco, though. That means dragon.
Okay. I don't. Malfoy, maybe? Draco Malfoy? I don't know.
It's got Mal in it, which means bad.
You've been taking lessons. You're a pro now, right? Week two.
Well, I don't think any Harry Potter characters have Mandarin names because the Asian character she named was Cho Chang.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because she's like a dumb racist. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't feel bad about saying anything about J.K. Rowling, to be honest.
Yeah. Nope. Nah, I have a valid open season, I think. But yeah, for anyone who's lost and confused, this is the Shoujo podcast where I, Sarah, and Joe here recap and discuss Shoujo anime. And we're currently covering Revolutionary Girl Utena. And today we'll be talking through episodes 5 and 6. But before we do that, we'll, as you see, display our incredible ability to discuss random topics and go
professionals
down rabbit holes. So yes. How about you, Joe? You've got your feline friend there to keep you company. So
yes,
it's gonna be a good ep.
Yep. I am once again watching my girlfriend's cat as she has gone back home for 2 weeks. So
has he pissed on you yet?
No, but he did pee in the car again. The 10 minute ride from her apartment to my apartment is impossible. But yeah, fortunately, didn't get on anything. I mean, I just got on this
cat carrier. Yeah.
But we have. I got the cat pee removal juice on standby. The spray. It's like pee destroyer or something. Is what it's called.
Is this like a home mixture or is this like a product?
It's a product
off the shelves. Okay.
Yep, nice. I got that. It works pretty well, so we just did that. It's fine. It's all good. Yep, she took off in an airplane earlier today. That's just me now. But a couple days before that, I know, we had Valentine's Day. It was cute. We went skiing.
It was so adorable. Okay.
And then I fell and only hurt myself a little bit. My back is sore, but that's fine. It'll get better in a couple days. You know how it is.
I also exerted myself physically unexpectedly. But continue.
Also celebrated Lunar New Year. Had a celebration on Monday where we made a bunch of food and I invited some of our friends over to sit at my nice new table, my expensive ass cool table.
Oh, you got a table. It's not the little garage sale table anymore, huh?
That's right. I'm a real adult now. Yeah. And you know, made dumplings and fish and all other stuff.
Ooh,
and one of my friends I thought was vegan. So I like went out of my way to make this vegan food, but it turns out she's just vegetarian and doesn't like eggs. She just doesn't like eggs. I'm like, oh, so I could have used butter this whole time. Awesome. Great.
Yeah. You poor thing. You well, now you know. You're now so considerate. Overconsiderate Joe, as it's they hard. Call you.
Oh, it's hard to make vegan food, let me tell you. Because it's hard to like
imagine.
It's hard to ad lib. You know what I mean? Like if you're missing something, it's like, I don't know if I could just leave this out or like substitute with something else. I don't know. What'd you learn?
Egg substitute for eggs is bananas. Oh, you mash up a banana and put it in instead of eggs. That's what I learned this weekend.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. For some gluten-free pancakes.
Oh.
I too socialized. I socialized so hard this weekend. Like,
what'd you do?
I had a 4-day weekend.
Oh.
Basically, we had a friend come into town, and so it was like an adult slumber party over at my friend's place.
Wow.
And they had some like out of towners, so we basically, and I might as well have been a tourist because like I don't get out of my house, so it's like I don't know anything about Austin. So we were like doing all the touristy things. We went to South Congress, and then we went to Broken Spoke, which is like this two-stepping place. I had never been there. We took them to the Oasis and this and that. And one of our friends was doing the Austin Marathon half. Well, they did the half marathon. And so we went to go cheer them on. Ended up just spontaneously being like, let's run with him for a bit. And then I ended up running like 2 miles unexpectedly. Wow. Thank God I was dressed in like running clothes, but our other friend, she was wearing jeans, and she was running in jeans, which is crazy, but
I would never do that.
So I was like feeling it for a few days after that.
Uh-huh.
Unexpected run, which there's a lot of hills on that marathon, which is terrible. Now my freaking Instagram feed is full of just marathon stuff. I'm like, this is not for me, guys. There's no plans to be doing more of that. But I was like, look, I still got it. I did cross country. I had it. I did it. I was like, people were doing like fireball shots and stuff. It was crazy. Like,
yeah.
Party pace is like a thing, I guess, where people just drink while they run a marathon and see how, and then it's like, party pace, except it's still incredibly fast. And
it feels impossible that you would be able to run and drink at the same time, but people do it.
This is awful. I had a busy weekend of like socializing and stuff. Oh, and we did like we kind of made our own little version of Traitors. And so we played that for like, we started it the night before and then kind of played it through breakfast. And I won. I was a faithful and I won our little Traitors game.
Nice.
So go me. I won nothing, but I'm still a winner.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun. Let's see. I've been watching more Fruits Basket. Oh, I got someone into, or I started rewatching Bleach. It's really hard to watch. It's hard to watch a show in 2026 that came out in like 2004. And you're like, I can envision this being done now and being done so much better. So it's unfortunate that we're having to watch this version.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel like every other conversation we have is about how you don't like modern anime and you just want to watch old stuff.
What I like is that there's no, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, or maybe as a teenager, I found these things funnier, but as an adult, I'm like, we got the crappy art to like for the comedy bits, so it doesn't look that good. And it's just, the one good thing about stuff right now is that it's like to the point, I feel like. There's no extra crap, or like everything looks good, even the comedy bits, versus like Bleach is like, okay, that scene looks really well animated and that one looks like shit. So it's kind of just like,
There's more consistency. Or
especially, yeah, so that's one thing. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know when they're doing, because they're like reanimating some of Bleach, right? I just don't know when that comes out.
I don't understand. Like they're doing almost like remakes of stuff. Like, I know they're remaking part of One Piece, but I don't understand what that means, to be honest. I don't really understand how they're going to be able to do it either.
Well, is it a thing for new viewers, or is it just a thing for old viewers?
Well, I think it's to get new people on board, right? Especially with like series that are still kind of going on.
But is it like get on board to rewatch the old stuff in its entirety, or is it supposed to just get you through to what's currently coming out?
It feels like this is a test of like, oh, if this does well, we'll just keep remaking it or something. And if not, it's just like a jumping on point. I don't really know. I mean, we're kind of in anime remake territory with Ranma and stuff like that. So it's more common than I feel like it has been.
From the jump. Yeah. I guess it's like all these. Well, Bleach is kind of ongoing still, and One Piece is. Isn't One Piece the manga over though? Like, how far are we from? No, I think they.
No, it keeps being like it's manga. In its last arc, but it turns out its last arc is enormous and is probably going to have sub arcs. It's real like Homestuck Act 5 energy from this.
Okay,
but yeah, it's coming to a close, whatever that means.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that guy's like, and then what's this about new characters and they're all just teenagers with the big boobs? Is that what I'm seeing?
That has been true.
It's
forever. Just I mean, they're not even teenagers. Forever. It's like everyone's like 20 years old and all the women are kind of drawn the same now because we've given up on body diversity for women.
Yeah.
But that happened a long time ago.
Gotcha. That's all I can keep up with is like, but watching Bleach again, it's like, yes, this soundtrack is so good. Like the music in season one, so good. Like I've got that album on vinyl.
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's good. It's good stuff. Yeah. Man. I don't know. I'm like, that's my anime thing I've been doing, I guess.
Oh, nice.
I watched an episode of Food Wars. Not into it. And it wasn't even like the first episode, which I had seen. It was like a random episode when they're like they're in some cooking camp, whatever. And I was just like, this is like cooking version of things I've seen so many times already. Like it just was not.
Yeah, it is just kind of one of those, you know?
Yeah.
Which is fine if you want one of those. But if you don't want one of those, it's like, all right. I feel like you're not missing much.
Oh, yeah, because I feel like I'm not like a discerning viewer, but I'm also picky at the same time. So it's just like I just feel it or I don't. I can't really articulate what it is that is or isn't working, or it works for this, but not that, even though it seems similar. So I'm just picky.
Yeah, I'm getting close. I still have not finished Turn A Gundam. I'm close. Last week has been crazy. Oh, I haven't done that. I've watched a little more of Planetes, whatever. Very back and forth on the storytelling in that show. It's weird that it's like billed as like a hard sci-fi kind of show, but not really. I mean, other than the fact that they're in space and we kind of treat that realistically, it's kind of a goofy show otherwise, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's just like a workspace comedy.
Yeah, but like it gets increasingly like the tones all over the place.
Oh, okay.
So, nice. Yeah. Like, there's one episode that's like, oh, this guy comes from a, like, for all intents and purposes, like, a third world country and is, like, trying to establish, like a space industry there, and he's being discriminated against, and the crew helps him out, and it's, like, in the end, it kind of is, like, a bittersweet ending. And then on the next episode, it's like, we go to the moon and there's a bunch of ninjas there. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, these are not even close to the same tone. So very weird.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess the only other thing exciting news in shoujo is that Red River is being made into an anime, which you can see the red volume I have there, Red River, and they've been coming out with Omnibus, which I'm looking at my collection. I'm like, I might need to just scrap a few series that I'm like only a few volumes in, or ones that's going to be so expensive to get the individual ones and just start fresh with the Omnibus. But it's like shoujo and it's historical. It's a little smutty. I mean, it's not like we're all twigs, so it's not like sexy smut, but girl, it's like girl goes back in time, but it's not Japan time. It's like, I don't know. Like, yes, it's like 90s. It's probably not that old, but
okay, but it's not like new.
No. So, but I'm liking, we're getting, because we had like, was it, there's a series called like Hanakimi that is coming out right now that is also like an old manga that never got made into an anime and that's going. It seems like people like it. So I think we might be in it, in a shoujo comeback or nostalgia for the things that never got made in the first place. So we'll see what else they come up with.
I mean, that's cool.
So exciting. More stuff for us to cover in the future.
Yeah. And it's older, so maybe I like it more.
Yeah.
Because I like old stuff, I guess.
Yes. It's like kind of it's like Ishtar freaking.
Oh, wait.
I can't.
Let's see. Time period is this? Like ancient agent? Like Ishtar, like
she,
the god?
Well, she is from modern day. Okay. It says Yuri. Okay. We got to say she's a pretty Japanese girl is ecstatic after passing her college entrance exam and having her first kiss with her childhood friend turned boyfriend. However, her luck soon changes. She starts to notice that water.
She starts to notice water.
Sorry. I'm like, what is this summary? Let's just reveal it all. Basically, transported into an ancient village in the Middle East. She's captured by armed troops and taken to the queen's palace. The tagline, adventure and good-looking boys fill this great first volume.
Oh, she's in the Hittite Empire.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, mystical powers and stuff, kind of, witches and...
1322 BC. No, that's just this guy. 13th century BC, I guess. Is that how that works in BC time? I don't know. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's like
far back.
So a different setting we haven't really super seen. So I'm excited. I wonder who's making it. But anyways, so that's just exciting news for shoujo.
That's probably not where I would want to go if I had to get thrown back in time.
No, probably not. I don't know where I'd want to go. As a woman? Nowhere, probably. It's all going to suck.
That's pretty true.
Joe's just a dude. He could go back anytime and just make it work.
I don't think that's true.
No.
But it would still suck. It would suck less for me.
Fashion would you want to be?
Fashion?
I'm like, yeah. Like, it's a dapper times.
Dapper times.
I think you could pull off, like, you could do the powdered wig stuff if you wanted to go back in time and do the fancy wigs.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I would like that. It would be hard. I think the past is always sucks, though.
Yeah.
I'd probably just be a huge hater.
Yes. Today, it just sucks. Making the best of it.
People 100 years from now are also going to say that today sucks, which is true. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That makes sense. It's all good. Let me think. Anything else that I did? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, ready to get to it?
I think we're ready to get to it.
Let's do it.
All right. Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant, we have some voice actors. This week, I touched on two characters that show up a lot. And we're starting with the voice actress for Nanami is Yuri Shiratori, who is the voice of Mokona in Magic Knight Rayearth, which I think is like the mascot thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Also the voice of Yukina from Yu Yu Hakusho, Lily from Princess Tutu, Maria Robotnik from the Sonic series, like Sonic Adventure 2. And for us, she's the voice of Hitoko Kobayashi from Angelic Lair. Yay!
Ooh, love that character.
Great. Love it.
How fun.
Let's see. We also have the voice actress for Miki, who is Aya Hisakawa. She's Priscilla from Claymore.
Ooh, okay. Priscilla. That's a big character in that.
Okay. She's Captain Unohana from Bleach, which I think is Squad 3, maybe.
It's the one with the awful braid down her chin.
Yeah, the one with the crazy
weird
hair.
Whale thing. Yeah.
She's Politana from the Kid Icarus games. So like in Smash and stuff like that. She's the voice of Yuki Soma in Fruits Basket 2001, that version.
Okay.
She's the current voice of Bulma in Dragon Ball Super following the previous voice actress's death in 2017. She's Sailor Mercury in original run Sailor Moon, and she is Kereboros in Cardcaptor Sakura. Did I say that right?
You know, I never say it. I just call him Karo-chan.
Yeah.
He's this guy, the little yellow mascot guy.
Yep.
That's fun. Because that's not a meek character. Mickey is kind of like reserved, and but some of these are boisterous characters for sure.
Yep.
But like Yuki Soma is definitely more of a similar character of like pretty boy vibes.
Yeah. All right. So we start off with episode 5, which is titled The Sunlit Garden Finale. We open on Juri and Mickey fencing, and we learn that they're both accomplished fencers. The spectators are shocked when Mickey beats Juri, and Juri is like, wow, you've gotten stronger. Usually you're kind of timid. I wonder if you're stronger because you have a crush on that one girl. But then she's like, either way, your sword is not for combat, so don't go thinking about dueling. We cut to Amphi in the greenhouse. Mickey brings her watering can, and he watches as she tends to the garden, thinking about the garden he and his sister used to play piano in as children. Wow, you're just like my sister. Utena and Chuchu stumble upon them and are like, oh, sorry, are we interrupting you guys? Chuchu is skateboarding in this scene.
Chuchu does it all. What can't he do?
We cut to the music room where Anthy is playing The Sunlit Garden for Utena and Mickey. Mickey comments that she's playing The Sunlit Garden, a song that he and his sister wrote together. And Utena's like, this song is a famous song. What are you talking about? Mickey ignores her and continues reminiscing about playing piano with his twin sister as a kid. He's like, we were twin prodigies and their life was bliss playing piano together. Yeah.
I was just like, he's a big deal, I guess. He's just freaking writing famous songs.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's real.
Uh-huh.
But one day, Mickey ruined his blissful time playing with his sister. And we get flashbacks of an event where Mickey, on his own, enters the two of them into like a recital concert. And his sister is hesitant, but Mickey insists that he'll be there for her like he always is. So she agrees. And then we cut forward to the day of the concert. But Mickey is sick with the measles and he can't go. So she has to go on by herself. And we learned that when she was on stage, she like ran off and hid somewhere so they couldn't find her. And Mickey tells us that she never played piano again.
Yeah, I don't love that. It's like I'll get into more of my I feel like I have strong feelings for some reason about this, but I'm like, don't do that. She's not as into it as you are, dude. Don't drag her along with you.
Oh, we're going to be finding out that this entire story is completely false.
Yes. Yeah.
Back in the present, Mickey tells Utena that he never realized how much he loved his sister's playing until after she quit. He sort of lost interest in piano since then, but now that Anthy's here, it's kind of reminding him of it. Utena's like, all right, well, I don't really understand. Like, she's just kind of playing normal, so you must be hearing it different. Anyway, does that mean that you like Anthy, right? And she's like, well, Anthy, what do you think? He likes you. And Anthy tells Utena that, like, I'm engaged. She said she's engaged to her. She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm engaged to you. And Utena's like, come on. You're not still on about how you're engaged to me, right? This is stupid. You can't marry somebody because of a duel. I won't support a system that deprives somebody their personal freedom, she says. We get the student council elevator sequence. Sarah's favorite. Yep.
Yep. I definitely did like the skip forward 15 seconds.
Wow. It's Toga, Juri, and Mickey again. So no Sionji. Juri's like, why are we having this meeting? We didn't get a letter from End of the World or anything, right? And Toga's like, no, but we got a motion that's been proposed for the student council. And Mickey stands and states his motion that the student council should be disbanded. These duels over Anthy are ridiculous. No matter what power we might get out of it, we can't support a system that deprives Anthy of her personal freedom.
And we didn't feel this way until we heard Utena rant about it.
Yeah.
We can't form our own thoughts.
We can't form our own thoughts. We gotta
only do something.
And it's not it's not anybody's personal freedom. It's only Anthy's. That's what we care about here.
Mm-hmm.
Juri's like, oh, so you are in love with her, huh? And Toga says that youth can keep you from seeking your true goals. But Mickey counters, saying that their overall goal is to smash something that other people find important, right? Is that even the right thing to do? Later, Mickey runs into his sister leaving the music room, and she's like, what are you doing here? Gonna try to convince me to play piano again? But Mickey says no, he's given up on her. Anyway, why is she here? And she replies that music isn't the only thing you can do in the music room. And I'll also add that she's been adjusting her clothes throughout this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey goes in to see Toga in the room with his shirt open.
Wide open.
And Toga greets him and says his sister is cute, like him, but more open.
Yikes. Okay, is Mickey in high school or middle school? Because that means it's this.
Mickey.
This guy is out of control.
I think it is like Utena's grade or below that. I don't know. Something like that.
So young to be messing around with a middle schooler in the music room if you're friends with her brother, too.
Yep. Suddenly, Anthy appears behind them and greets them, and Toga keeps talking to Mickey, saying that if you don't defend things that are important to you, other people will take them from you, and then goes on to say that even if the student council were to disband, only the current champion would have Anthy, and they could make her do whatever they wanted. Toga leaves, and Anthy starts playing piano for Mickey, and he asks her when she started playing, but she says she doesn't really remember, and Mickey wonders if she was like her sister as a child. And decides that he's not going to lose her again. Mickey asks if she likes playing piano, and she says yes. And he asks her if she'll play for him again sometime, and she says she will if Utena says she can. And Mickey gets annoyed. She's like, why do you need Utena's permission to do things? And then he's like, if Utena told you to stop playing piano, would you? And Anthy says, of course, I'm the Rose Bride after all. I would, of course I would stop playing. Mickey remembers what Toga said while thinking about him and his sister having implied sex.
Just fooling around.
He decides that he's going to protect her, Anthy. He decides he's going to protect Anthy.
I mean, it's freaking, what's his face, just pulling around with his sister to make a point that's...
yeah, he's just baiting, Mickey into not trying to disband the student council anymore.
I don't think Mickey was going to try that hard or get anything accomplished, honestly, dude. You could just let him.
The thing about Mickey is that he's very impressionable, as we find out.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of just doing whatever the last person told him to do was.
Truly. Exactly.
We cut to Utena and Wakaba in class. Mickey shows up and Utena's like, oh, hey, Anthy isn't here at the moment. But Mickey says that he's here for her. And Utena's like, oh, cool. But my math skills are good now, so don't worry about me. But then Mickey hands her a rose and challenges her to a duel. We get the Kashira Shadow Troop, and they do a performance about a pirate captain who only realizes what they want most in life moments before sinking into the ocean. Dang.
Life lessons.
Life lessons.
Dramatically through... the ridiculous shadow ladies.
That's right. Utena goes to the dueling ground. After the Absolute Destiny apocalypse sequence, we get a scene that we got at the beginning of last episode of her and Mickey facing off. Mickey says he needs to win Anthy to protect her, but Utena says that he's more suited to just sticking with piano, and Juri, watching from afar, also agrees. The duel begins, and Mickey's pretty good because he's a fencer. They duel while the background music is people singing about, like, theater and evolution. Mickey glances at Anthy and thinks that she wants to be free, and he'll be the one to free her. He and Utena lunge at each other at the same time, while he declares that Anthy's counting on him. But then Anthy cheers for Utena to get him, which distracts him, and he loses the duel.
This seems very intentional, like, on her part. She never cheered for her before.
Yeah, very funny.
Gonna destroy him emotionally in one fell swoop.
Mickey wonders why he can't find his precious thing, and Anthy tells him good job and that they should study again soon. We cut to Mickey's sister playing piano very poorly for her friend, and her friend's like, wow, you suck. Didn't you used to play piano? And Mickey's sister says that she mostly just pretended to play while Mickey, who was actually good at piano, played like around her. And she did this because the neighbor boy liked her playing, so she just pretended that she could play, and everyone just kind of assumed that she could. So when she had to do that concert, she knew she couldn't do it alone, which is why she ran away. She's like, I can't play piano basically at all.
Fake it till you make it. And then once you make it, freak out.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Mickey goes to see Utena and tells her that he won't lose to her next time. And Utena's like, oh, great. As we cut to credits.
Oh, man. Mickey.
Almost had
like
it.
A bad brother. Also, it's like, dude, are you just trying to sell more albums? Like, you only play that one song, the one famous song, just so people ask you about it, or what?
The song what? He and his sister wrote?
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't do nothing. I guess it's, I don't know, you're a twin. Do you feel inclined to want to do everything together? I feel like no. You're probably like, I want to do my own thing.
Well, it's very funny that, like... His sister is just like, yeah, I was just doing it because his boy thought it was good. So I was like, oh, yeah, I want to impress his boy. And like, meanwhile, Mickey's over here being like, oh, yes, me and my prodigy sister are having the most delightful time in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just remembering it the way he wants to.
Yep. Because
don't put that on her.
That's his thing. He's big white knight energy of like.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I got to save Anthy because I'm projecting all of my feelings and wants onto her. Just like I projected them onto my sister and not confront reality at all.
He should just, obviously, he's getting to get closer to Anthony because she's been with Utena, because Utena lets her do what she wants. So she's doing the best with Utena being her fiance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
I don't know. So, yep, just have his little thing.
This is the arc with, this is Mickey's deal. He almost had it. Of being like, oh, wait, we should be like respecting people's freedom. We should disband the student council. Almost. But then he got baited by Toga very easily, mm-hmm. being like, I could sleep with your sister and I can also sleep with Anthony. So maybe you should be a man and defeat me in combat or defeat somebody in combat.
Well, he only beat Churi for the first time and now he's like, I'm big deal now. Beat Churi, I beat anybody. One little match in practice.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's interesting that we get kind of Toga's role as the head of the student council is to like maintain the student council and try to keep the members in line. Like he's the one going to talk to Sionji at the beginning, being like, hey, man, you need to stop hitting Anthony in public. And now he's going over here to be like scheming to get Mickey to stay in line as well.
Scheming left and right.
Yep.
Oh, and then that's it. That's that. And then we're on to a random ass episode.
And then we get another episode that's just like stuff happens. It's also kind of interesting. I mean, these episodes kind of have something in common about like having an ideal and trying to pursue like an ideal of a thing and kind of ignoring when reality doesn't line up with that.
Yeah, totally.
Very much so. So good pair of episodes to put together, I think.
Yeah.
Which we did not do on purpose. That's how they aired.
This just happened to be. If only our cats could understand each other through Discord. Because like I've got my cat here. And then if your cat guest was like, oh my God. And the cats fell in love over Discord video.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
Wouldn't that be cute?
Moxie'd be like, I can help. Look at you, big baby. You can't even get through a car ride without peeing. Just a little pro car ride cat.
Wow.
Can meow into the mic. Meow, meow. I think it picked that one up, maybe.
Okay. I didn't hear it, but anyways. I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any other episodes? Do you have any other thoughts about this episode?
Surely we're going to get more, like, we're getting the Mickey stuff. But this show is long, so I'm assuming we'll get more from these characters than just these. Or,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they're all donezo after the. Surely we get more.
We get more. Yeah, yeah. Like we're gonna learn his sister's name.
Okay.
So we'll get somewhere with them.
Sweet. I'm glad to hear it.
All right. Moving on. Episode 6 is called Take Care, Miss Nanami. We open on Nanami walking home at night. She thinks she's being stalked and panicked, and she almost gets run over by a car, but sees a dark, shadowy figure in the background. It's the next day, and Nanami tells Toga and Mickey that somebody is trying to kill her. She's like, I almost had a flower pot drop on me just the other day. She's like, Big Brother, you need to protect me. But Toga dismisses her, saying that she reads too many detective novels.
I feel like it would be exhausting to have a sister that kept, like, just coming up. Well, I feel like this, you know, dog boy cries wolf thing, but she's probably always buzzing in his ear about something. So I guess he could get jaded to hearing her talking as her brother.
It's very funny to watch them interact. Mm-hmm. Nanami goes to sulk while Mickey and the bullies are like nearby talking about it. He comments that maybe somebody wants revenge for all of the schemes she pulls, but the bully says that she always keeps plausible deniability, which is very funny because everybody knows that it's her still.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, Nanami gets hit in the face with a baseball and Utena comes to retrieve the ball because she's playing baseball. And Nanami accuses Utena of trying to kill her. Nanami, Utena, and Mickey walk the halls, and Nanami accuses Utena of trying to kill her again because she's getting in her way with getting with Toga. Utena's like, I'm not trying to get with Toga.
And that's your brother, girl.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to get with your brother?
They notice Toga and Anthony in the greenhouse and eavesdrop on them. Those two are discussing that they need to kill Vermin, but Anthony is hesitant because doing so is like, ooh, can you kill something that's alive? That's bad. Nanami interprets this as Toga getting Anthony to kill her so that the two of them can be together and imagines them in cahoots with each other. She bursts in on them and is like, how dare you, Big Brother? How dare you try to kill me? I know you think I'm in your way, but not like this. You shouldn't do this. And she runs off all sad. Utena's like, what the heck, guys? Are you really trying to kill your sister? But Anthy reveals that the two of them were just talking about killing bugs.
Utena, let's not... Come on, girl. Utena, you know, don't just jump to conclusions.
It's not the sharpest tool either.
No!
She's very much jock-coded.
Oh, totally. 100%.
Nanami runs away and is almost killed by a runaway horse that gets loose in the hallway. Year of the horse! Let's go!
Oh, yeah! Look at that! Perfect timing.
But she is saved at the last second by a mystery man. Later, news has spread that Nanami has been saved by a genuine prince. She longingly gazes at the handkerchief with his name on it, Mitsuru Suwabuki, which is like embroidered into it, all fancy-like. Mickey and Utena discuss it together and speculate on who it could be. They decide to follow her to find out. They think it might be the sports coach. Or, like, a professor, but it turns out they're both wrong, and they keep following her until she meets up with Mitsuru, who is an elementary school boy, and they're like, what the hell?
Yikes. Big yikes.
Then Nanami asks Mitsuru if he'll go out with her, and Utena and Mickey and the bullies are all like, what the hell is going on?
Yep.
We get the Kashira Shadow Troop. They do a skit about how camping food always tastes better in your mind than when you actually eat it, but you can always just say it's good anyway, which is the truest thing anyone has ever said about camping food. It's terrible.
Yeah, no. I think it's just you're so tired that anything seems refreshing.
Yes.
By the time you're done with the hell that is camping.
Very true. Mickey and Utena wonder what they should do. Mickey reassures Utena that Nanami really is after Touga, so she's not actually into this, like, child. Since she has a huge brother complex, so she's probably just trying to make him jealous or something. I don't know. She also thinks he's trying to kill her, so there's some weird stuff going on.
Truly.
But they go and see Nanami and Mitsuru hanging out, and they're like, she can't be serious, right? Like, she's really going to hang out with this kid?
I like that Mickey is just, like, in it now. He's, like, one of the girls just gossiping.
Yeah.
About what's going on now.
Well, it's very funny. Like, the end of last episode, he's like, I won't lose you next time, and then they just hang out. We get multiple scenes of Nanami summoning Mitsuru to do various mundane tasks for her, like getting her gym clothes, helping her cheat on a test, and being her easel in, like, art class.
A pint-sized boyfriend comes in handy, I guess.
Mickey and Utena watch this and are like, well, this isn't good. What's this kid's deal? Why is he doing this? Sionji shows up for the first time since episode 2 and gives a monologue that even if you're being abused, it can still be fulfilling to be needed by the one you love. Just like love takes many forms, and like just like how his and Anthy's love is hidden, for example, he says. But Mickey and Utena ignore him because they do not like him.
Nobody does. Get out of here, bro. You can't just appear. I feel like at this point you need a reintroduction, my guy. It's been too long. Like, who are you?
I love this because it's like, yeah, you think he would get like a big reintroduction, but it's just like nobody was missing him. Nobody cares about Sionji at all.
Nope.
Like, even his reintroduction is like stupid.
Yes. Ugh.
Later, Nanami is confronted by three guys who are mad at her for dating an elementary school kid after rejecting them. They're like, that's bad because it hurts our pride. How could we lose out to an elementary school kid? Not because it's problematic to date an elementary school kid. It's because of our pride. Nanami is like, I'm sorry, who are you guys? Whatever. And then she summons Mitsuru to fight these guys.
Poor child.
Mitsuru 1v3s them and, like, wins, but is pretty beat up at the end. Utena and Mickey are like, all right, this has gone too far. Nanami, you have to knock this off. You can't keep treating this kid as your bodyguard. And Nanami's like, excuse me, if you recall, my brother is trying to kill me. Remember, I need protection. And if I have to use this little kid to do it, I will. And then she walks off. Mitsuru tells them that it's okay because he wants to be her boyfriend. And then he goes into a flashback where, as an elementary school kid, he witnessed a child Nanami almost get run over by a raging bull. He tried to rescue her, but he was just a kindergartner and couldn't do anything. But Touga, who was older, was able to knock the bull out somehow and save her.
So what's the... We've gotten... We'll see this again, but, like, there's some kind of, like... I don't know. FFA equivalent is failing terribly in this world. Like,
yep.
All animals are getting loose.
We know that
rampages.
Animals love Nanami.
No, I think something terribly dark is happening.
Oh.
And Utena needs to go save those animals because they're all leaving. They're all frantic when they escape. There's some kind of bad thing happening on campus to the animals, and they're trying to escape desperately.
That's actually the C plot. It's just building up to a big confrontation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what Utena is about. Utena.
Or Anthy. Anthy should save them. She's the animal girl.
That's true.
Oh my god.
Mitsuru thought that was the coolest thing ever, so much so that he wanted to become Nanami's older brother. But Nanami didn't remember him, so he's going to settle for being her boyfriend for now. And Utena and Mikiru are like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, anyway, I'm just going to keep putting Nanami in dangerous situations and then saving her, so then maybe she'll treat me like her older brother. And Utena and Mikiru are like, wait a minute, you're the one doing all that stuff so you can, like, pretend to save her? And he's like, yeah, it's the perfect plan. Nanami overhears this.
Small child's idea, so not surprising.
Nanami overhears this and yells at Mitsuru for not only putting her in danger, no, even worse, she yelled at her brother because of it. This scene is very goofy, by the way, because she's just, like, all of a sudden, like, listening on, like, a big tape deck. Uh-huh. And then she, like, pulls out a microphone to tell him that she doesn't care about his excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is followed by suddenly a kangaroo wearing boxing gloves gets loose and is about to attack Nanami when Mitsuru intercepts the punch.
Like, death blow. Kangaroos are jacked. They'll mess you up.
Yeah. Utena tries to intervene but gets pushed back by the kangaroo. Mitsuru gets up and challenges the kangaroo to a 1v1 fight, and he puts on boxing gloves and is about to fight the kangaroo when Nanami grabs him and runs off, and she tells him that he can't die here because she still needs him to do things for her. The kangaroo is hot on their heels, though, and things are looking pretty bad when suddenly Toga, wearing a boxing outfit, shows up and one-shots the kangaroo, knocking it out.
Just another day in the life of Toga, yep. Seemingly.
Nanami thanks her older brother, and he's like, your antics are really escalating lately. Nanami breaks up with Mitsuru, and he agrees, but asks if he can be her little brother instead, and she ignores him and compliments Toga as the three of them walk off together. Utena stares after Toga, wondering what kind of guy he is as we cut to credits.
Okay, I hope there's no way she's going to be into him at any point, surely, right? Please. I hope that is not a thing that happens.
How attractive is it when somebody saves their sister by uppercutting a kangaroo? Scale from 1 to 10.
The poor kangaroo, and his sister deserves it, maybe. Nanami is just the, like, gag character.
Yes.
I feel like they introduced her to be a bully, but she's just, like, the goofy comedy bit character now.
Yeah, it's just, like, ridiculous things happen to her.
I'm not gonna take her seriously if she does anything mean again.
No.
Oh, man. This is a strange series. Like,
yeah,
it's just a bizarro series.
You think the
like, we're so dramatic in some ways and then so goofy in others.
You think like the previous episode where it, like, turns out that, like, Mickey is obsessing with the idea that he's projecting onto Anthy of, like, being the thing he thought his sister was for him. And he can't get over the fact that none of that's true. And then the next episode is about Nanami getting attacked by random animals.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, like, OK, I'm like, people with siblings in this world have problems. That's one takeaway.
Yep, that's a trope.
And I don't understand. I mean, I feel like, I don't know what that is, because I feel like it's not the case in, or maybe I'm the oldest sibling, so I'm like, ugh, siblings. I can, like, not ever thinking of them fondly, but, or at least as a kid, I wasn't. So I'm like, where does this trope come from? I feel like you're just like, ew, siblings. But such a thing.
Well, it's like it's very funny. Anyway. Once again, an episode about how people are obsessed with the idea of roles, where it's like Nanami wants Toga to protect her because she's like, "Oh, you're my big brother. My big brother should protect me." Mitsuru wants to be Nanami's big brother because he's like, "It's cool when you're the big brother and you protect your younger sister." But he ends up being her boyfriend, which is like, it just means nothing to Nanami. It just means, like, somebody you get to do whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
And then Toga.
Well, I mean, that's a boyfriend to a lot of people.
That's,
I guess,
true. That's true. And then Toga does actually defend Nanami, but it's like, this is what being a big brother is I punch a kangaroo, not I take your concerns seriously.
Uh-huh.
Because she was actually, like, being put into danger. She was not being paranoid.
Where was she going at night? Like, the dorms are not on campus, is that right? Is she having to walk somewhere?
I don't know.
The shade at the beginning of that episode is way taller than an elementary school student, I can tell you that.
Oh,
much.
Yeah, very funny.
Oh, the grown adult shadow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
And then that lady who almost hit her is just like, hey, you punk, and then peels off. Crazy.
Yeah. It is pretty funny that, like, Utena is Like, again, I mean, this is the thing that Utena's doing, right? Like, she's trying to be a prince, like the idea of a prince without any of the things that come with actually doing that. Mm. Just like Mitsuru is
this
like
whole show is just about people trying to, or there's, I don't know, a lot of roles not explained to us or Utena.
Yep.
But like the whole Anthe thing and
coming of age stories. What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a big brother? What does that mean? You want to be a prince? What does that mean?
Finding out what people think it means. Freaking Mickey, it's whatever you tell him.
Yeah.
That's what he'll think it means.
Mickey is like, very we have to respect people's man. Autonomy. And then it's like, I need to defend the things I want before people take them from me. I need to be toxic masculinity boy now and be a protector.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, this is just six episodes.
This is the first six episodes. Like,
this is such a bizarro show. Like, I guess I can see where it's going. It's does it get to, we're like zany right now. I take it we're going to get like serious at some point with the intense arc titles.
What, yeah, it's going to get more like this is.
Yeah,
this is, these episodes like this are not, I mean, they're not filler, right? But they kind of perform that role of like something lighthearted in between.
Yeah.
Stuff that's more stuff, because like the next episode is about
establishing rapport, like showing time, the passage of time and character bonding without it being super like a plot heavy thing.
Yeah, it's also like a like a buffer, right? Because like the next episode we get the jury episode, and then I think we get another kind of goofy one, and then we get some more stuff about I actually don't know, maybe we get Toga stuff then.
Okay, we have to learn more about Sionji.
I think we learn a little bit more about
probably Sionji. Tragic background to try and justify how shitty he is to Anthe. I ain't buying it, dude.
I don't think the show buys it.
Try and sell me on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to learn about Juri. She's very just cool, calm, and collected, and kind of seemingly, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Has Juri been friends with Mickey for a long time, or just kind of feels some kind of fondness over Mickey since this whole shenanigan? I'm like, when did we get the episode where anything's explained to us? That's the episode I'm excited to watch.
That's not important. What's important is meeting everybody.
Happening? Okay.
Nah, so this is, it's broken up into, so, you know, the first 12 episodes are like the first arc, the school council arc or whatever. So we're halfway through that.
Yeah. And then it goes down with the dark rose or whatever that whatever is called.
Yep.
Well, I feel like, what do we think? Are we liking our pace of two episodes? Or I guess I feel like we could just probably,
yeah,
you're the one that work is determined by it.
Should we try to do three?
Like, these are pretty light. I felt
these
like
these two were pretty light. Yeah, because part of it is because like
worried we're gonna get to the point where it's not light, and it's like I'm filled with regret. Why didn't we stick with two?
Okay, next episode. Like, I know that because I've seen these episodes before, so I know that episode 8 is like another kind of mostly a gag episode. So
okay,
we could probably get through that pretty quick. So we'll do three next time.
Okay, 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9
is what we'll cover next time.
That should be pretty
good. Okay, sweet. Awesome. Yeah. Get me some more answers, maybe. Something. I want to learn more about, when are we going to see the teacher with the cool glasses again? You know?
That's when, not really that a character.
Okay.
Sorry to say.
Well, it seemed like a distinct character. Whatever. Okay. More animals from Anthe.
More animals from Anthe.
She's like a Princess Snow White with all the little woodland creatures coming out the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. Loves to get along with the little
and
creatures.
I like that we're at least a little torn up about having to kill a bug. I like that we're, you know, weighing the life of a bug and not just mindlessly killing.
Mm-hmm. So how is your opinion on these characters? What's your opinion on Toga? The most normal boy.
Scummy. No, he's like,
oh, that's a joke.
Freaking get handsy with a freaking middle school girl.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, yeah, I don't love that. At school, and she could be doing it just to spite her brother.
Maybe.
So she could have approached, I don't know. The ladies just come to him, I guess. But yeah, no, don't feel great about him. Standing in for his sister is just more of a chance for him to get to look cool, I guess. what's cooler than beating up a kangaroo? nothing, I tell you.
The coolest thing a guy can do.
Mickey, the opinion?
Yeah.
Bad now. It's gone down. We're not feeling better about him after learning about him. It was better when he just seemed like a nice music boy. the stopwatch, still a bit of a mystery to us all. I think I'll like Jury. Wakaba didn't really get to do anything. Utena's kind of like, we're just like on the back burner with Utena right now. Utena's just hanging out with these people and we're learning about them. We're not super learning anything about her.
Mm-hmm.
Liking Anthy more. I'm hoping, I think Anthy will get to do cool stuff eventually. We just got to get to that point.
Yeah. It becomes more about.
Is Mitsuru ever going to show up again? The child?
Boyfriend? I don't know. I don't know, actually.
That's the end. Bye bye.
That's the end.
Freaking not enough choo choo. Not enough.
No, not enough.
Give us more. Or do we get to learn? Does he get like, what if he turns into some cool thing? A lot of the times the mascot turn into a cool, bigger thing at some point. I wonder if he'll get to do that.
Maybe. Big choo choo.
Maybe.
There's plenty of opportunity for gag episodes. I mean, that we know that like the comedy of this show is kind of whatever, right? It's just like whatever it wants to be, whatever it thinks is funny.
Yes. Yep.
Lots of visual gags. Like, I feel like my summaries are not capturing the like how visually gaggy this is and like how it does cuts. And even like how it did, you know, when Mickey's thinking about like Toga possibly sleeping with his sister, like those sequences, like how those actually look. Where it's kind of him like lounge, like Toga lounging around like he's in like magazine photo shoots.
Yeah. It's a very self-aware show, seemingly, so far. Like, just doing whatever it wants to do whenever it wants, unbothered.
Yep.
Yeah. Interested to see. Because you watched this and when you were watching, you're like, hell yeah, this is it. This is, or was it like once you got into it more that you're like, yeah.
I mean, it definitely gets better as you go along because it gets more into the thing it's doing.
Yeah.
I think I just really in this early stuff, I just kind of enjoyed how stylish it was. And like, I was just kind of interested to see where we're going.
Has your mom come around on the tall, pointy people in tiny skirts?
I think so. Yeah, I think she's come around to the style and is just kind of accepting it now.
Gotcha. Yeah. The only anime I've never been able to get over the style of was SK Flone or whatever with the Pinocchio nose. I just can't get into the flower of Esk Flone or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably watch that at some point because it's got a mech in it, right?
Yes. The noses are too much. Like, if you could just trim out all the parts where we get side profile, I could watch it. But I just can't look at them noses. Oh, God. It's so bad. They should show her a photo of that. See what I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's got these, like, snubby or, like, kind of hooked out noses kind of.
Yes.
Are they like elves?
I don't like it one bit.
They kind of look like a Usopp a little
people.
Bit.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's a little too much. Yeah. It's like half a centimeter too long. It's
distracting.
They're all Pinocchio-esque.
I'm nitpicky with normal anime. I can't even. Yeah, it's just.
I mean, like the screenshots look okay. It's just the promotional art that looks kind of absurd.
Like, I've been told I would like it. I just can't get over the noses.
I think I don't know.
It's got the English dub has the voice actress who does Sanga from Inuyasha, which I think had been originally why I wanted to try.
That's pretty good. It.
Yeah. I like her voice. Man. Mm. Well, I guess what. Well, no, we do reviews and then lessons.
Please review us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Leave comments on YouTube videos and I guess Spotify things. If you can do that, it helps us out with the algorithms. Tell your friends, post about us. Send us emails at shoujopod@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah, we're a big deal in the making, people. Get in on this.
Cash in early.
People are too big to respond.
We'll launch our crypto coin soon, and then you'll make the big bucks.
That way you can
bucks.
Be like, oh, I liked them before they got popular. That way you can be a little anime podcast hipster.
Yeah, everybody loves that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Lessons learned. Don't date children. Why?
They weren't really dating. It was just a gag.
Try to harm people. to impress them. What happens when they find out?
Oh, God. Maybe you should ask people.
Don't hit and run a teenager.
Don't hit and run a teenager. That's, yeah, good. Yeah. A good one. Let's think. Maybe you should, like,
if you have a violent kangaroo, don't equip him with weapons on his hands for powerful punches.
Yeah. Maybe, like, pay attention to the people around you instead of just assuming things because you like the idea of that's what they're being like. Maybe you should know if your sister is actually not that good at playing piano. Also, don't just say that you and your sister wrote a music piece if you likely did not.
Yeah. Take all that credit for yourself, my guy.
Yeah.
Basically, all you're doing is helping her get with the fellas that you're now all agonizing over the fact that she's with them. So, oh, man. But yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any others? Or that's it? That's all.
That's all. Folks.
Okay. Happy horse year. Who's the horse in Fruits Basket? Rin. Rin Soma. This is her year. I think my mom might be a horse too.
Wow.
You're a rooster too, right?
No, I'm a dog. I'm younger than you.
Oh, you're a dog. Okay.
You're old.
Well, we roosters had our year not too long ago.
Yeah.
I could read the thing. Hold on. Fruits Basket. One of the fun things about the Fruits Basket manga is that they have like the zodiac info at the back of the book for whoever's on the cover.
Uh-huh.
So this one, it's Year the Horse. So positive qualities: cunning, adventurous, cheerful, social, competitive. Grievances: impatient, selfish, stubborn. Suitable job: scientist, poet, politician, explorer. Compatible with tigers and dogs. Must avoid rats. It says ruling. No, is that right? Yeah. Ruling hours 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Whoa.
Let's see.
That sounds good.
We got fancy stuff. We've got like sign direction south, fixed element fire.
Oh,
corresponding western sign. I'm like, I don't know what any of that. Okay, yeah. Celebrity horses.
Okay,
Halle Berry.
All right.
Jason Biggs, Cindy Crawford, uh-huh. Janet Jackson, uh-huh. Matthew Fox, Chris Rock, David Schwimmer, mm-hmm. Kiefer Sutherland, mm-hmm. and Mr. Ed.
Okay,
which I'm assuming is like a puppet horse or something.
It's the horse.
Okay. Yeah. So fun. You're the horse. Yay. We're going to cover Fruits Basket at some point.
Mr. Ed talks, right? That's his whole thing.
Mr. Ed. I don't know anything about this. Is like a Sesame Street character?
No, this was a TV show. It's about a guy. It's about a horse that, it's about a horse that talks from the 60s. Mr. Ed. Yep. Show's title character is a talking horse, which originally appeared in the short stories of Walter R. Brooks. I don't know why I said Robert.
Mm-hmm.
There were 143 episodes, about a talking horse. And we said the past sucks. Maybe I was wrong.
Is it like where it's a horse and they just have a voice coming out of it? Or is it like a puppety horse?
This looks like a real ass horse that they just said, you know, they just.
Okay, maybe I should watch this. Six seasons is a lot.
Oh,
okay.
Here's a picture of him wearing glasses. I can see why this would be popular. Just the show where we pretend like a horse
this
is real.
Fun. Oh my God, I love it. You look like a pretty Palomino or something.
This is probably the most boring show ever.
No, it's probably incredible.
You think it's like one of those like shows this was actually really revolutionary at the time. Like the politics were really progressive in Mr. Ed.
I hope they treated the horse good. Mr. Ed, boy. Okay. How fun. I was like, it's him playing baseball. Remember the episode where Mr. Ed tried out for the LA Dodgers?
Oh, hell yeah. This is what I'm talking about. They need to make, like, stop making.
Oh my God,
Netflix needs to stop making,
surfing.
Like, Stranger Things and, like, other bullshit that nobody likes. Dude, bring back Mr. Ed. Where's the Mr. Ed revival?
There's, like, him looking at a telescope on a pirate ship. This show looks awesome.
Yeah, I want Mr. Ed to go to like the race tracks, like where they have horse racing, but he's a spectator. He's not actually racing the horse.
There's one of him surfing, which is fun. Him in the shower. Oh my God. This is so good. Okay. Oh, and him getting married. Okay, sorry. I'm like too excited about this.
Oh, the horse. The horse that portrayed Ed is called Bamboo Harvester. That's the name of the horse.
What? That's not a fun name.
Ed Stablemate, a quarter horse named Pumpkin, also served as Bamboo Harvester's stump duddle with the show. Pumpkin. That's a fun name.
Yeah. Did you even watch like freaking Black Beauty? The movie. God, that's a movie that can make me ugly cry. Just anything. Or the little horse girlfriend kicks it. Or there's a book called The Goose Girl that I read as a kid. And I like sobbed because like she has the ability to talk to animals and she had this horse and then she like it gets turned into dog food. Her horse gets turned into like dog food or something awful. It's traumatizing.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Okay. The Goose Girl. Horse dog food? I couldn't. What am I making this up? Dog food. The princess's loyal horse who can speak is beheaded by the false bride's orders.
Whoa, dude. That's like the Godfather.
Oh, God. Ask for the head to be placed over the. Oh, okay. In the traditional. Oh, wait, no. 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 Sorry. This is like AI's attempt to.
Oh, is it just making stuff up?
Well, I'm like, I just. Googled the Goose Girl horse dog food, and then there's like the Goose Girl, the tail, the horse, the dog slash food. It says there's no regarding a dog, regarding the no, whatever. Anyways, Goose Girl, by freaking no, where is it? The Goose Girl by Shannon Hale. I enjoyed that book.
Okay.
As a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Never listen to AI
yay horses.
Kids. Bring back Mr. Ed.
That. True. Yes. Let's do it. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. And we'll catch you next time for episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.